Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well. If you own a home, you know how much work it can take, whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality. It can be hard just to know where to start, but now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
Hey, everyone, you want to hear something really cool? Well, this is not going to be it.
No, here's something close-ish.
Yeah.
Pretty good. We are having our first live show ever. It's in Los Angeles. It'll be on April 25th at the Dynasty Typewriter at 10 p.m.
Yeah, it's going to be a double shot.
A double shot. We are going to be talking about the sordid, macabre history of Hollywood Forever and Paramount Studios.
Yeah. Woo! Double trouble.
Ooh, it's going to be so great. So for $15, you can get in, you can have a seat, you can listen to historians, see footage, listen to us, you'll get the whole treatment. But for an extra $35, we will take you on a tour of Hollywood Forever.
A guided personal tour.
Can you imagine it?
Yeah.
So, Angelinos, come on down. If you're not from here, come on down.
Yeah, come on down.
And if you're not from here, especially, buy a ticket. Support us.
The $15 doesn't include a flight or hotel, but, you know. But what?
That's it.
So,
how about that?
Yeah, you got to go to DynastyTypewriter.com.
Yeah, dynastytypewriter.com/calendar/ghosttownpodapr25. We have links all over our social media if you get turned around.
Yeah.
We would love to see you there.
We will see you there.
Yeah, that's better. Check into another rock and roll nightmare. I'm Rebecca Lieb.
I'm Jason Horton.
And this is Ghost Town.
Very excited about this one. You know how like you have episodes that you have had in your mind, but you did not have an episode, didn't exist to put it out on?
Yeah, you're like saving your little hip pocket.
Yeah.
You're saving those little nuggets for like when you really gotta bust them out.
This one kind of harkens to my past. Mm-hmm. It checks off a lot of boxes. Mm-hmm. And we are going to talk about the Chelsea Hotel.
Mm.
But we're going to get into the Chelsea Hotel as a whole. We were actually talking about doing a anthology of it, a tiny little anthology, because there's a lot. And if you're a fan of music, arts, pop culture, movies, the Chelsea Hotel
is like the place.
Yeah, like it's you'd be hard pressed to find somebody that did not stay there or work there that you're not at least familiar with.
Yeah.
But this one is going to probably pretty quickly focus in on Sid and Nancy.
Mm-hmm,
if
mm-hmm.
you're familiar with Sid Vicious and Nancy mm-hmm. Spungen,
mm-hmm.
Sid Vicious, a bass player of the Sex Pistols,
mm-hmm.
Nancy Spungen, famous kind of groupie and girlfriend of Sid Vicious, which is probably one of the most famous. I say technically unsolved true crimes.
Spoiler alert.
So we're going to kind of get into it. And, I was just a huge fan. Obviously music. Yeah. Talking about music, which I've been getting more into, like the dark side of that. This is one of those where, listen, when I was 14, I mean, this is the 80s. Mm-hmm. I didn't have access to like band t-shirts. So I had a gray crew neck. Mm-hmm. Like Heather Gray sweatshirt mm-hmm. and a can of spray paint, and I spray painted Sex Pistols on it.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Did I get beat up? Hell yeah.
Woo!
Yeah, so it was great.
But for a moment, you were like the coolest.
Yeah, I was like, this is gonna. I was like, this is gonna turn out well.
Yeah,
and it did not.
No,
people were not super receptive to it, including my family. My family was like, "That's what you get."
Yeah,
that's
what you get. You don't get that undershirt back.
Yeah, no, it's
you have to wear that to bed.
Yeah, that's. But I wore it like off the shoulder a little bit.
Oh, flirty.
Yes, people were really like, "Are you trying to get beat up?"
Yeah.
So that's what we're gonna get into, and I'm personally very excited about it. I think you will be too.
Yeah.
And actually, Rebecca, of course had the ideas like hotel. Can we stay there and do an episode?
Can we fucking stay there?
But you got stonewalled a little bit, I think it's because, and I, you know, from the research I did, I think it's. We'll get into it, but we did not get through. But maybe by the time we're in New York together, it'll be open.
We'll
might have that time.
I think that could be fun. I mean, I went on and there was immediately some place where you can book it, but it was unavailable. So I was like, oh, maybe. And I called them a couple times and they hung up on me or something of that nature. Anyway, I was disconnected, which I don't appreciate.
No.
But then I saw something as I was scrolling through that the construction was delayed. So
yeah, so
I would love to stay there. That would be amazing if we could do something from the Chelsea Hotel.
And that might happen. You know, like, you know, maybe we might do our second live show in New York.
What?
But we have a first live.
First live show?
Yeah. And have we talked about it enough? Listen, we're under a bit of pressure for you to show up. Or at least.
Could you get there?
So, because it's not, you know, we are working with some other, you know, industry kind of corporate.
You always say this, and it always sounds so like ominous.
I know it is, but I just don't want to say.
No, but we have high hopes for this show, I guess. Yeah. Let's say that, right?
Yeah.
High hopes. We are doing a live show. We're doing a tour with it. Like, we really want to bring this experience that you listen to every week, presumably, plus Patreon, to life for you. For you. We do it for you.
And if you can't make it, and you can,
yeah,
the episode will obviously be, well, obviously you're going to post it.
Yeah.
But you won't, it's 3D. You need the 3D.
It's not the same.
Podcasts were always meant to be in person. They were never meant to just be listened to.
A dialogue between two people that you shut up during and listen to.
Yeah. Podcasts were not meant to just be listened to. That's not the way people like it.
You're supposed to see our sweatshirts.
Yeah. Jeans.
All of the jeans.
Yeah. So many jeans.
See the coasters. You don't even understand the coasters.
Don't you want to see the empty seats?
Hollywood.
Yeah. You'll see how LA is so indifferent to live entertainment.
Arts.
Yeah. Arts and art. And then people wonder, like, why aren't certain things flourishing?
Yeah. Well, we got your answer right here, baby.
Yes.
So please go to dynastytypewriter.com/calendar/ghosttownapr25. Our links will be all over. We got links aplenty. You will find your way. If you want to see this show, God help you. You will find your way.
Yeah. Ghost Town like Pod on Instagram. Yeah.
You'll get there.
Yeah.
Please.
And I don't know if you'll find the link on patreon.com/ghosttownpod where we have like 10 bonus episodes ready to go for you to listen to for $2 a month. Just saying. I don't know if you'll find it there, but maybe you will.
Maybe you take a look and you see what you find.
Are we all unplugged?
I want to talk about one quick thing too, which there's a documentary there's a documentary about Satanism coming out. Hail Satan.
I got an invite to a screening. I think you're going to be.
How did you not tell me? How did you not? Because
I get invited to a lot of screenings.
Oh, okay.
Also, it's like at 11 a.m.
I don't care.
Yeah. I just saw the trailer for it.
So did I with my coworker, because we don't work. We just watch trailers pretty much.
I'm going to look up the information and you tell me if you're going to be around.
Okay.
And then you start talking about Hail Satan.
Okay. I will.
Yeah.
So basically, Hail Satan is a documentary about Satanism, but it's really about the social justice angle of Satanism, which my coworker and I watched the trailer, and then we both signed up to be Satanists, and he was already registered. I was not.
Oh.
He's pretty cool. But so I registered, and they had the tenets of Satanism are like really progressive. I got a really lovely welcome email, and I'm really excited to see what's next. I was trying to get, they have like a little like membership card for an extra $20, and I tried to get that, but they were out. But hopefully next time I can show you my Satanist.
You know, though, I
my
actually like that they're out. I want to hope that they're out of cards because they've got so many members they can't keep up.
I do. There are lots of branches. In fact, there's not even one in LA. There's one in Santa Cruz. I think that's the closest one.
Well, that's kind of, you know, I think, you know the movie The Lost Boys?
Yeah.
That was in filmed in Santa Cruz, so I get it. You know what I mean? It kind of Santa Cruz is like a it's supposed to be like a weird place, not in a bad way, but like a weird. That's what I've heard. I'll look into more about that, but I remember hearing some stories about that. I'm not going to say where it is because it's just it's Tuesday, March 12th at 11 a.m.
Oh shit! I can probably do that. I bet I could go. How many? I bet if I told my coworker, he'd be like, go.
So I did get,
Oh shoot though. I'm going to be in New York.
That's why that's the first thing I said to you was that I think you're in New York then. That's why I didn't tell you about
it. You're right.
Yeah.
Are you going to go?
I don't know. Because here's the thing is it's at 11 a.m. That part doesn't really bother me, but I know it's going to come on, probably, video on demand or something like that. But I'm very excited about it.
Yeah.
Obviously.
I'm watching Interview with the Vampire for a fifth date tomorrow. How about that?
Whose idea was that?
It was a collective choice between two.
He was parties. Like, La La Land. You're like, Interview with a Vampire. He's like, good.
He's like, see ya.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
Is that a little too sexy?
Sexy. It is very homoerotic, and I can't wait to watch it with a straight guy.
Yeah.
A straight, sober guy.
Yeah. It should be pretty hot.
So sexy.
It should be very hot.
Mm-hmm. Mm. So that's all my business.
You know what I'd say?
What?
Get a room. At the Chelsea Hotel.
Oh, damn.
Oh, do you see how I did that?
I liked it.
I'm getting better.
You're very good at this. I could just talk forever about my dating life, and you're like, bring it back around.
And you're like, on date 39. Yeah, so here's what happened. Here's
so let me tell you how he texted me, and I texted that would be my podcast if I had my way.
A podcast about dating woes?
I know. Oh,
no.
My God.
They don't exist. No one ever do it, and no one ever listen. But I want to go, and I want to talk about, you lived in New York for a time, mm-hmm. and you're there. I grew up, I've been going to New York City, like I mentioned this, like since the mid-70s.
Mm-hmm. Damn.
I never lived in New York City, but I worked in New York City, and New Jersey, and I've always lived about an hour outside. I've slept in Penn Station.
Gross.
Because I couldn't miss the track. It is gross and it's very dangerous.
Yeah.
Don't do it. And now this is
obviously. Unless you want to be sexy.
Yeah, and cigarettes. No, I remember at Grand Central where you could kind of just like sleep on the floor.
Oh my God.
They quickly, like in the early 2000s, were like, no, you don't do that here.
It's like sleeping on Hollywood Boulevard.
Yeah.
Like,
Penn Station, though, is. I mean, sleeping in Penn Station is rough.
Mm-hmm.
But. I remember, maybe kind of stepping inside the, because I wasn't that much of a bad boy. I wasn't that much of an urban explorer then. But I would, be outside the Chelsea Hotel and my, love of, music and all the history there and just old buildings. So I've been inside, really quick. And this is a while ago. This is probably 90s, I would say.
Whoa.
80, yeah, late 80s, 90s.
Wow.
When things were really nasty.
Yeah.
I mean, you're
going to... Wait, are we talking
is pre-Giuliani.
Interesting.
And probably post-Giuliani, but I remember peep shows on in Times Square and stuff like that. And just being in the peep shows.
Yeah.
Being on the screen.
Yeah.
As an actor.
Wow. Oh my God, look at you now.
And being in the audience.
Oh my God, wow.
It's like a full circle.
That's incredible.
Full circle. But
the things you've seen and not seen.
And not mostly
witnessed
not seen.
And not witnessed.
And mostly not witnessed.
Yeah.
But to give you, for some people who are not familiar, I say Chelsea Hotel. Basically, I call it Chelsea Hotel because you can call both things. But do you know, familiar with Leonard Cohen?
Mm-hmm. RIP.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. His song Chelsea Hotel, number two.
Yeah,
it's like very, very famous song. Mm-hmm. Michelle loves Leonard Cohen. And my dad, actually, when I was younger, he was one of those people that my dad got me into most music. You know what I mean? Everything. The Beatles and Springsteen was kind of late for me to get into.
Mm-hmm.
But Leonard Cohen was one of those things that took me a little while to get into.
It's an acquired taste.
It is,
Tom
yeah.
Waits, it's like, what it is this?
Yeah. Okay. And then you're like, oh, okay, I get it.
Yeah, then you're hooked.
And then I'm into it. But, he's pretty, which that song is about his affair with Janis Joplin.
What?
I know her. Yeah, we have a three-part episode with Janis Joplin.
Just a little sweet, tight three-parter.
Yeah. How do we fit that in there?
Oh.
I think as we do more episodes, we're going to find that we're going to cross,
a lot of history is going to cross. Especially because the places we concentrate in are a lot of cities where a lot of people die.
Yeah, that's pretty much. Yeah.
A lot of Satanists do those things there.
You know what I'm thinking? Before we get like into the nasty stuff, let's take a little break.
Pre-nasty break?
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well. If you own a home, you know how much work it can take, whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality. It can be hard just to know where to start, but now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's Angie.com.
We're back. So let me get a little tiny bit about the Chelsea Hotel. Again, we're not going to go very deep into it. It's such a long, amazing history, especially with all the ins and outs of it. But it was built in 1884. It is at 222 West 23rd Street between 7th and 8th Avenue. And it's I always first thing I look is like, when did it become a landmark? And it was designated, it's been a landmark since 1966 and on the National Register of Historic Places since 1977, when I was a mere 25 years old.
Damn, you are so old.
I'm so old, I know. You know, it's known for having famous people and dead people. Like, that's kind of like...
It really is.
You can't put that on the sign, but that's...
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Exactly. I feel like someone's has made some B movie, C movie about the Chelsea Hotel.
Oh, there's tons. No, there's tons.
Like
murder.
It's like just like where, you know, that filter where it's like blood fills. You know, like it is. It has such a just violent.
You know, people say like, oh, if these walls could talk.
Yeah, these walls would scream. Yeah. To help us, please.
And try to hook up.
Hook up and sanitize us.
Yeah, I don't know. Let me see if any of these. Here's some people that stayed there. Mm-hmm. This might not impress you.
Try me.
Boring old Mark Twain.
No. Who's that?
Yeah. Nobody. He does not have an Instagram presence.
I do not care if you will not come to our live show.
Allen Ginsberg. You like some poetry?
I do.
She didn't like, she was like, was poised to be great, but didn't really work out for her. Madonna.
Oh, who's that?
Don't know. Some dude. Young. I don't know who that is.
I'm too young.
Some survivors of the Titanic.
Whoa.
They survived the Titanic, and they narrowly escaped the Chelsea Hotel.
Jesus.
Arthur C. Clarke, I think, wrote 2001 Space Odyssey.
That's right.
There. Mitch Hedberg.
Yeah.
R.I.P.
Absolutely.
Ethan Hawke. He's back, baby. Ethan Hawke is back. Yeah. Ooh, he's so good.
Sinewy.
He's so good. Dennis Hopper, of course. He's, absolutely. You know, like, he's like, I'm surprised he wasn't one of the walls.
I know. He's buried there.
Uma Thurman.
Yeah, you know we're getting very like 90s fun.
Jim Morrison? Why would he go there?
Exactly.
He's like, no, I'll go to Holiday Inn Express. No, thank you.
La Quinta.
And the Grateful Dead. I mean, that's just some of...
That's just like the hits.
We're not even getting to the meat of this. What I'm doing is I'm giving you little tiny little appetizers. Little tiny little yum-yums. should I ever say the word yum-yums again? Yes or no? Let me know in the comments that don't exist below. So, Leonard, I want to just kind of get into... Before we get to Sid and Nancy, which is really the kind of like the bulk of this... focus. But Leonard Cohen, he lived in room 424. Mm-hmm. Can we get in? And Janis Joplin was in 411. They had an affair.
Mm-hmm. They were very close.
They're very,
and across the hall. Probably between a vending machine.
maybe.
Cigarette machine?
A ciggy machine? Yeah. But in the Leonard Cohen song, you're familiar with Chelsea Hotel number 2. It's pretty graphic. Mm. You know, but in a... Oh, he's like, remember we were holding hands and like French kissing a little bit, like that part of the song?
Ooh,
that's the part... I think my family edited out all the other parts. They added other parts.
Horton family edit to the classics?
Another person who stayed there, and I watched a documentary on him, is Joe Bryath.
Who's that? Is that...
He was kind of a... Somebody that kind of came up almost as like a David Bowie type during that. He had a really interesting trajectory and probably could have been really big and actually was like super talented. Just things just did not work out. The documentary is great if you're into like late 70s, and then you go into disco and then early 80s. And I remember this because he lived on the there's a pyramid top of the Hotel Chelsea. And he lived there, and he actually then he died from AIDS in 1983. But that's where he lived right before he died. And I think from the documentary, you see him playing the piano because he went through this kind of like glam phase, and then he kind of pulled it in and became like kind of like a tuxedo just piano player. It was just a very interesting, sad, and I'll watch any music documentary. I don't have to like the music.
Yeah, I
can know everything about it or nothing about it.
And honestly, sports documentaries, a lot of the
sometimes, yeah, they're great too. Because like, there's a lot of ups and downs.
Well, it's just like culture. Yeah. And I like it. A good story is a good story.
So I was just kind of really into that. But the story about Sid and Nancy is a very kind of classic, you know, people kind of compare
it's like
Kurt Cobain and Courtney. I mean, Courtney Love, you know, definitely. Her vibe is a page out of Nancy Sponger.
Literally, they could be twins. Like, they are so, have such a similar aesthetic, different generations. But, like, I think it's very eerie that, and I feel like a lot of people make comparisons all the time to that. But, yeah, when you think about tragic rock and roll romances.
This is, yeah, like, this is it.
Huge.
And Nancy is interesting. You know, I was watching some interviews with her, and she's just a very, seeming like kind of intelligent, but kind of very abrasive, and a, you know, a junkie groupie who you know was very, I mean, you know, a strong woman.
Didn't Courtney Love play her?
Not. Are you thinking of the movie, the Sid and Nancy movie?
Yeah.
No, but you know who played her? Her name escapes me, but she was also in Shameless. She played. I don't know if you've ever seen Shameless.
Yeah, yeah.
She plays the mother that's in and out of their lives. That's the junkie. If you hear her voice, it's like, you know what
it's
I mean.
Like it's like New York. It's like she's very.
It's kind of like this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Something like that. But you would think Courtney Love would, but that was. I remember getting that soundtrack, and I had Sid Vicious post. It was just a very iconic thing, even though Sid Vicious.
First of all, Sid Vicious was like not talented. I mean, he was like part of the punk. He was very charismatic.
He couldn't play bass.
Yeah. Also, everyone was so young too, which like you don't think about. I learned a lot about this. Well, just growing up a little bit and hating everybody, but also this is the least punk thing I've ever done is TA'd a class on the history of punk in grad school.
Interesting.
Which is very punk. But we learned a lot about that and like had people talk about this experience too. And like the scene in New York, which was so insane and full of possibility. And also it's not like the, you know, it's like you think about like the artist scene there and this is like a little post that this is like, again, a little grittier, little kind of like downfall in New York. New York is gross.
I mean, anything in like, you know, we're talking about New York and you're talking about like after 19, you know, between 1975 on, because then, you know, 77, you have Blackout and Son of Sam and economic depression. It's like, it's a tough, rough time, you know, tons of drugs.
Yeah.
So it's really like a great, really great backdrop for these stories.
Yeah.
Not for the people that didn't make it. But then, you know, I guess that's what kind of solidifies them in kind of like as icons and in what we're talking about.
Totally.
But she, you know, Nancy showed up, you know, as the punk movement was blowing up and heroin was getting big in New York City. And you know, she was super like honest. She was just honest about it. She's like, yeah, she's like, I'm a junkie prostitute. What up? You know, which is, you know, some people say like, I'm a muse. And maybe you are that, but she was like, no, this is what I am.
Yeah. Which is also very punk too, to just be like, this is it. Like, this is who we are. We're unapologetic about it.
Yeah. You know, she would bring the band's drugs. She said to be a groupie, you had to be tall and skinny and have fashionable clothes. Like, that was, like, the general consensus. And then she shows up, and she's not trying to be any of those things. She wasn't like, I'm aspiring model.
Yeah.
She was just like, yeah, I'm a prostitute, and I don't care. But she met Sid Vicious in London in 1977, when the Sex Pistols were, you know, a very short time span. But that was right in the center of it. And then they, you know, kind of hung out in the UK, and then they made it to the United States. You know, and then after Sex Pistols broke up, they were, it was just the two of them on their own. But they were, you know, they were inseparable. It was just like sex and drugs.
Yeah, and he was also like 19. Like how?
Yeah, he was pretty young. Was, yeah.
I mean, I believe he was just like, I don't know if he's still young, a teenager or like what.
Well, also his mother was addicted to heroin too.
Yeah.
So, really sad. The other people, like obviously in the band, didn't like her. It was, as most things. They banned her from their 1978 tour, which went terribly, but famously terribly.
Yeah.
But on August 24th, 1978, Sid Vicious and Nancy Spungen moved into the Chelsea Hotel. So you lived there. You know what I mean? Like, I'm sure there was people, you know, there for the day, but you lived there.
I want to know how much it was, like, per, I guess, I'm sure they had, like, weekly rate. You know, like, people were so in and out.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sure it was probably, you know, I mean, they probably used their Citibank mileage points stuff like that. You know what I mean? Oh, it was like Airbnb and stuff.
Well, you got to get those points. You got to use those points.
You got to use those. Listen.
Sapphire, you get double points.
It's not punk to not use your points,
yeah,
I guess.
No shit.
On the night of August 11th, we fast forward a very short amount of time, several visitors to the room saw Sid Vicious take as many as 30 tablets of Tuinol, which is, barbiturate. And it's just like a beyond large amount.
Yeah.
And it would put anyone like unconscious. And then he remained coma. You know, he was like kind of like comatose the morning. But on October 12th, 1978, Nancy bled to death on the bathroom floor. Yeah. What happened in between that time?
Yeah.
Right. So this is like a little, you know, a true crime.
This is.
Element to this.
Mm-hmm. And I just looked it up. Sid Vicious was only 21 years old when he died.
Yeah.
Like, so sad. Yeah. And I think Nancy's a little bit older. But, like, I'm sure, like, what... Yeah. There's so... Yeah, like, what... I wonder those waning hours after Sid Vicious overdosed, and she probably was just like, I'm gonna take all these drugs, and, like, God knows what.
It's really hard to say what happened in between. And there's really no way to know. And also, you know, we're gonna find that people just didn't... Like, you know, the police authorities, they're not, like, in the business of, like, listen... we want justice. They're like another junkie.
Yeah.
Like what do we care? What has happened to this person? How much manpower are we going to put into it? So here's how the night went. At 2:30 a.m. Nancy asked Rockets Red Glare. Great name.
Great name. I mean, punk names are also like so cool. Fucking great.
It's like so disco, you know what I mean? It's like
I know it's like Susie Sue, like all
so great.
There's so many amazing names.
So great names. We was sometimes a bodyguard for Sid Vicious, also a drug dealer. So he was multi. You know what I mean? He had like a
he
side
was slashes.
Hustle. Yeah, like he had a multi hyphenate. Yeah. He was a multi hyphenate. Yeah,
triple threat.
You know, he to get some. He went to get Sid some dialidids. D-I-L-A-U-D-I-D-S. Dila Udids.
Diludids?
I don't know.
Dilaudids.
Dilaudids?
We're punk
right
now. Yes. This is the most punk thing we've ever talked about.
Actually, we're a bunch of narcs, so we're trying to find out who knows what
is. Not a cop. Are you a cop? I'm not a cop.
Yep. Which is a painkiller. And around 7:30 a.m., female moans were heard from the room from other guests in the hotel. Mm-hmm. Probably all messed up, you know what I mean? At 10 a.m., Sid Vicious called down to the front desk asking for help. Nancy Spungen, who had been stabbed in the stomach.
Oh, boy.
With a knife, bled to death on the bathroom floor. She was 20.
Yeah.
Sid Vicious, who was found wandering the hallways, like, in a, you know, freaked out state, was arrested and charged with the murder. He initially confessed to the crime, and then he recanted it. Claimed that he was asleep when he died, which is tough because... Maybe you feel so guilty that you want to be like, I must have done, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm the one supposed to like, so the closest to you, I did this. It's really hard to say because there's just a lot of things, like a lot of, you know, things saying like, there's no way he could have done it based on the state that he was in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. I thought she was 27 because everyone dies when they're 27.
No,
roll,
not even that.
I was wrong. God, young.
Not even that far.
Not even of drinking age. Do you think she'd ever had a sip of alcohol?
She never had a sip of water. I know that. She never ever had a sip of water. That was her claim to fame.
Oh, wow.
Actually took that from Saturday Night Live from a sketch. Yeah, it's really funny. I've never had a sip of water, like, but I thought it was really funny. I think it was Adie Bryant, just in case she's listening and just like, give me credit for my comedy. Mm-hmm. And then people are kind of, I mean, listen, it could be, how many things could it be? Everything, right? Mm-hmm. What were the possibilities that maybe it was a robbery or a drug deal?
No, a robbery. Yeah, maybe Sid robbing Nancy.
Yeah, or a drug deal gone bad.
Between Sid and Nancy.
Yeah, yeah. It could have, what about the drug deals gone good? Where everyone just has a really good time and I save time.
It's a lovely time. I don't know.
Now, it's possible that people are saying that based on her personality that she might have, like, stabbed herself for drama.
There was a big round of thunder when you said that, and that was very dramatic.
Yeah, that maybe she stabbed herself.
Mm-hmm. Maybe. I see that.
I mean,
there's
just
so
to
many
be,
things I want to do on drugs that I don't.
Well, did you have 75 Quaaludes?
No, I didn't have enough to kill a giant, like, horse.
Yeah.
like a Clydesdale.
And, you know, she maybe kind of like, maybe mistakenly like stabbed herself. Mm-hmm. You'd be like, you love me, Sid.
That's kind of basically it. Yeah, it could have been like a
thing.
And
then he was too, like, was out like, cold, fuck. And it just went, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah. Well, also think about the
things. A bluff went bad.
Yeah, you've done when you were 20, 21, but then add a bucket of drugs.
And just, probably. And, you know, I think it's not even the drugs of one day. It's just like doing drugs every single day.
In your bloodstream. Yeah. You're in a hotel. You don't know what is up and what is down.
Yeah.
And all you need is a hug.
You should have been there, Lieb. Hey, guy. Hey, listen, everybody.
Hey, open up.
Yeah. They're like, don't let her in.
Open up.
Don't let her in.
She can't come in here. Yeah. She's
selling loose cigarettes.
Be honest.
There's a 2009 documentary called Who Killed Nancy, and that suggests that Vicious couldn't have murdered her because he was too out cold from the barbiturates.
I mean, that makes sense.
Listen, I'm not saying he can or can't do anything. And it wasn't like he was a kind of a pretty frail kind of.
Yeah, he was tiny.
Heroin chic, I guess we call it.
Yeah, like
fit well, I just
really
call it
well.
Chic. I just call it chic.
Yeah.
Like, the heroin part's understood.
Really well into jeans. You know?
Oh, skinny jeans?
Ooh. The skinniest. Like.
No thigh gap. Oh, or all thigh gap, right? It's all thigh gap, yeah. There's a actually in the Daily Beast that Vicious wouldn't have killed his girlfriend unless her death was actually a botched double suicide.
See, I can see even that more than really him killing her. It's like they were both like, let's do it, and he passed out and she stabbed herself.
Yeah, Malcolm McLaren, who kind of
Who engineered the Sex Pistols,
and
their aesthetic,
and probably a lot of other.
And was partnered with Vivian Westwood.
Yep.
Fashion
Michelle
icon.
Loves Vivian Westwood.
I do too. I mean, she's great. Although, how punk is it when like the Met Gala is themed as? Remember when it was like punk themed?
Maybe a little bit. Yeah.
Like, oh my god! Like, punk's dead.
Yeah. I wanted to go to like where they had that sex shop. The sex. It's something else. There's something else now. But when I was in, I went to go. But it's not that anymore. It's something else. So Sid Vicious, ended up, he got arrested and then he was going to go to trial and all that. And then, I think his mother gave him some heroin just to be like, let's party before we do with all this.
Everyone likes to party with their mom on heroin.
Overdosed. Yeah. And so there's just no way to, it could be any, and if doesn't matter which one of those things, I guess, is it, you know? I guess it doesn't really matter, but the Sid and Ed, you know, kind of like a, like, it's definitely like the most volatile of that kind of, like, you know, rock and roll kind of casualty thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And it is, it's very indicative.
I think
they're
in room 100, I believe. I think I might mention that.
Nice prime, a prime number.
Is that prime number?
It's divisible.
Yeah.
I mean, I think when you think about that, when you think about like punk gone really bad.
Yeah.
You think about, why didn't neo-Nazi shit? And then you think about Sid and Nancy, and you think about their death and how young everyone is.
Yeah.
Like Johnny Rotten, like how young everyone was in this movement, which is part of its allure because it's about like unbridled anger, like raw, like being raw and being like vulgar.
It's that you are at your most, you're at your kind of worst.
Yeah.
But you're at your best because you're at your most
lower class and you grew up poor and you're angry and you're going to like take it out on some shit.
Yeah.
Like a lot of Let's just call them
Dilaudids. We need to, you know, we need that here. We need a cool person, yeah. A drug specialist.
We need a cool person somewhere.
Somewhere to be like, you're doing it wrong.
Oh my God. They're like, do not say anything else.
But that is only one of many stories. I want to get into this Edie Sedgwick.
Edie Sedgwick is one of my favorite, like, Andy Warhol muse who, like, fell out of favor. Also, like, royalty, like she was, like, related to the Kennedy. Like, she had so much money. That is also such an interesting story.
It is. And when I was like, oh. So when I was, when we were talking about doing, like, an anthology or, like, a mini anthology, the Edie Sedgwick, am I saying it right?
Yeah.
Edie Sedgwick story, I thought, was, like, pretty cool.
Yeah, you know, she's related to Kira Sedgwick.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I thought, they were like cousins or
something like that. Yeah. Which, yeah. I was like, huh. Yeah. Interesting.
I mean, Andy Warhol, like when I, you know, because admittedly, like, you know, I went to museums as a kid, but art kind of escaped me because it was just not, I don't know. It wasn't like a luxury that kind of hit. It just, I grew up very middle class. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's also like not super accessible.
It's not super accessible, especially when you live very close to New York City. You can't find art.
Yeah, it's very hard. But, get to Akron, though?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Columbus?
Over the years.
Go to Ohio.
Actually, living in L.A. made me like, oh, now I got to go. Because, you know, I went to the Tate Modern and I go to museums. But I remember in New York, I remember Andy Warhol and Keith Haring.
Yeah.
Keith Haring.
Keith Haring was definitely of that time.
Yeah. So Andy both Warhol of those.
Yeah.
And I just, I mean, that whole kind of world is... super interesting. So, I mean, there's just, we have to get to the Chelsea Hotel.
We're going
to
get so much more into this hotel. Yeah. This is the first snacky snack you've seen of this hotel. Yeah.
This is probably the most, there's some pretty other dark stuff in here. But this one's pretty,
That one's just a good entryway into God.
Also check out, go online and look at the pictures of, some of the rooms and kind of its heyday and kind of like the people that are like living there. Mm-hmm. And it is, like, as we found out, they were doing some remodeling, and it's obviously a landmark, so there's, I don't know how much they're allowed to change.
I don't know either.
Structurally, like, how much...
If someone would pick up the phone, I could find out.
So we'll keep you posted, but we want to try to, get there. We could be our own, like, Sid and Nancy, but it's just kind of like...
Yeah, but
Should we order mozzarella sticks, too? Is that too...
Too much stuffed crust.
It's too dangerous.
No, can't do it. Someone help me. And it's Jason's like, Odita and stuffed crust.
They're like, no, they're both dead. It's like, no, they just passed out because they ate too much stuffed crust and didn't do anything. And they didn't do anything they say they were going to do.
They're being, frankly, very disrespectful.
Yeah. And they only got 10 minutes into Interview with a Vampire.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well. If you own a home, you know how much work it can take, whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality. It can be hard just to know where to start, but now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience. And they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.